Here we are. We are live. Fred, Jack, can you hear me?
Søren, yep, loud and clear. Good to be here.
Warm welcome to this episode of the Downtime Talks, and thank you for tuning in. On this show, we are speaking with guests about the trending topics, the innovative ideas, and new ways to eliminate downtime in our beloved industry, i.e. construction. I'm Søren Brogaard, the CEO here at TrackUnit, and it's my true pleasure today on this show to welcome you, Fred Rio, who is Senior Vice President of OEM Sales here at TrackUnit, developing the business around our OEMs. And welcome to the Downtime Talk today, Fred.
It's very exciting to be here. And it's really an honor to be a part of this conversation that you have on downtime, the topic I have some passion around.
I'm excited to have you on the call simply due to your rich history within this industry. And just out of getting the record straight, why don't you introduce yourself and a bit about your history prior to joining TrackUnit?
Yeah, absolutely. So a life kind of dedicated to the construction industry, a professional life. Spent the first 23, 24 years of my career with Caterpillar, and both in the machine space for the first 15 years or so, where I had the opportunity to be on the design side, but also on the sales sides and on three continents. And then just recently worked for 7 years as the head of the digital products for the construction space in CAT. And then most recently, just it's a little bit over 7 months, very happy to be here at TrackUnit leading the OEM business.
I'm always amazed how large corporation can get the employees to dedicate their entire professional career to their journey. I've done it myself, and I think CAT is an amazing employer, extremely visionary, and definitely on the forefront when it comes to connected fleet. If you were to put a few words against the progression in connected fleet in earth moving, generally speaking, what are the steps that comes to mind as an evolution of connectivity in earth moving, which is by far the most advanced part of the fleet when we look across the industry? Just a few words to get us started.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it starts like anything. You start with the basics, and the basics is really the connected machine. And the purpose of the connected machine is to typically kind of really understand, where is the machine? Is it in good health? And is it being utilization, right? So it's really hours, location, utilization. And then with time, you augment that with a little bit of health information. So reading fault codes and really trying to understand, is the machine in good working order? And that's really kind of where the industry is been, or is where it's coming from over the last 10 years. So that's the first piece. And then what the OEMs quickly do is they realize that that data really is a gold mine that they need to go and mine. And that data gets used for all sorts of things inside the OEM. Use the data to understand how a machine is truly used. As you design new machines, then you can be very accurate in designing a machine around the true use of the machine. You can use the data to improve your forecasting so that you can make sure you're producing the right machine for the right region and the right industry. You can use that data mostly to also do an excellent job at service and spare parts sales. So a connected machine is a machine that's easy to service, easy to diagnose. And you can also use advanced analytics to predict what parts may be needed by which machine.
So Fred, it makes a lot of sense. And you can pick up any report. You could probably even ask ChatGPT and it will probably provide the same level of answer. What I think could be an interesting reflection is, why is it that the large tier one OEMs, the Kubotas, the Hitachis, the Caterpillars, and I would even include the likes of JCBs, for years, and I'm talking about maybe 10, 15 years, have had to standard connect their high-end equipment as almost, it feels like an embedded part of their business strategy. And I compare that to the other, let's say 2000 OEMs representing 60%+ of the market. Why isn't it as obvious for, we could call it mid-size to, or at least volume speaking, sort of the mid-market to the lower end of the OEM market? Why is that obvious, you could say, business rationale not occurring in that space of the OEM market, in your opinion?
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think there's a couple of different elements at play. I think the first one is in terms of the customer, the end user pool, the larger, more productive machines as opposed to a support machine. So for example, I would put in that kind of mid-size and large excavators, tractors, wheel loaders. Those are machines that are production machines. And so for the end user, the contractor, understanding the true productivity of those machines is actually a very important element. So the true usefulness of the data, actually, there's a pull there from the contractor. And then, of course, the machines being bigger and being production machines, downtime becomes extremely expensive. And therefore, the tier one OEM can use the connectivity to improve uptime. Mm. So those are, I think, really from a field, from a machine standpoint, those are kind of the compelling elements. We can also look a little bit at the fact that there's a significant investment that's needed to get into digital. And some of those tier one OEMs have really done that internally. And we're talking the tune of tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, where if you're more of a mid-size OEM, you may not have the affordability for that kind of investment. And therefore, you may start a little bit later. In that case, that's where a partner like TrackUnit can be a real solution.
So you are out traveling the world. Since you came into TrackUnit, I think I'm still counting, but I can think of the first 20 OEMs that you have met with and have the in-depth conversations with. That are, some of them are tier ones, but there's certainly also a wider reach, also outside Earth moving. What are the highlights of that conversation, and what are some of the, what's the appetite, what's driving connectivity in your opinion as we sit here in 2024, maybe compared back to a decade ago where you got things in motion at CAT? Has the conversation changed, and if so, what is top of mind in your recent conversations?
Yeah, there's obviously a spectrum, there's a bell curve as we talk to the different OEMs. There is today, I think the tide has changed from kind of a push for connectivity to a pull from the OEMs. And again, it's at various different levels. I think for sure the ambition of OEMs to grow their aftermarket and improve their service model. All OEMs today see the connection between the connected machine and the ability to serve better and improve part sales. So that's one of the first conversations that all OEMs bring to the table. But also there's this ambition to go from a connected machine to a smart and connected machine, which is really where all the OEMs see the future is a machine that has some productivity features and also safety. Safety is becoming a big issue. And connectivity is the key to enabling that smart machine. We need to connect it to the back office for it to be smart. And on the safety side, one of the big topics really is access management and making sure that the machine can only be operated by a trained and qualified, the correct person. So that those two elements really drive the conversation.
In my conversations with executives in around both our prospects but also existing customers, there is a high and I think fair expectation that a vendor like TrackUnit can actually improve the time to impact or the time to savings or productivity improvements, etc. And technology overall has been quote unquote easier to adopt, faster to adopt, etc. Is that also what you see? And not only can we actually demonstrate, is it happening compared again to, let's say, a decade ago when you started to drive the connectivity program within CAT? Is there a change? Are we really seeing benefits materialize faster?
Yeah, so it's a little anecdote. I was, as I started in digital at CAT, after about 6 months, my sponsor at the time asked, so what have you learned in these 6 months? And I said, I've learned that digital is hard and digital is expensive. And it really is very difficult to build yourself this digital infrastructure that's needed. And being able to rely on a partner that's going to take care of all the complexity that are around, you know, getting the data, all the different telecom companies you got to deal with, and cybersecurity and storing the data. That's a great advantage to be able to just work with somebody that has that all done. And then the OEM can focus on just the value add piece, right? How does the OEM best serve their customers, the rental companies and the contractors? So for sure, today we're at a level where an OEM can go from zero to having a working solution that they can push out to their customers in a matter of months, where in the past, you know, I mean, that was a 24-month journey that you were embarking before you really saw the first bite of value.
Well, there's no doubt that our survey, also done here around our downtime community, clearly shows a strategic high appetite, interest, and alignment across the executive and what OEMs want to do. We also see some difficulties in delivering on that ambition, and to your point, despite promises from vendors, including the ones from TrackUnit, there's still trouble. There are still challenges out there. What, in your opinion, are some of the top issues, top risks that OEMs are dealing with today to take advantage of what has emerged on the technology scene today?
Yeah, you know, going back to Covey, you got to always start with the end in mind.
For our younger listeners, who's Covey?
So Franklin Covey.
You're showing your age now, Fred, but that's okay.
Well, I'm having my kids read it, so hopefully it's a book for all generations. But he's the author of one of my favorite books, which is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the things that he recommends is to always start action with the end in mind. So as you take your first step in whatever that journey you're going, always start thinking about, you know, what's the destination and what are the steps that are needed to get you there. The reason I bring this up is that you, as an OEM, what's very dangerous is just embarking on a digital journey without having a true digital vision for your company holistically. How do you create value inside and how do you create value outside for, you know, for your downstream partners? You know, so we always start our conversations with the OEMs actually pushing and prodding and being, you know, a little bullish about, hey, why are we going to connect? Why are we going to spend this money? And I think that creates a little bit of discomfort, but it's through that dialogue that you then can really laser focus on what are the value that I want to create, the value propositions. And I find that, you know, your question was, why do we fall short sometimes? And sometimes we fall short because we're embarking on a digital journey because others have done it. That's the reason, rather than we're embarking on a digital journey because we have a very clear vision of what it's going to do for our company.
That's super insightful. And would you, am I also hearing you say that it has less to do with people and technology, but more a clear stated ambition that is rooted in something that can be measured, something that can actually be operationalized?
Absolutely. So that's, I always, whenever I talk about most of the projects that we do, it's always, I think of 10% technology and 90% change management, right? Mm-hmm. It's about what are you trying to do? Why? And how are you going to implement? How is it going to work? How is it going to integrate into your normal day-to-day workflows? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, those are the key elements to making technology work.
So how does that team of individuals look like that takes care, that takes ownership of that sort of discovery process of having a strong, well-grounded strategic plan to address the end? In your opinion, what type of people sits around the table to get that done?
The first dialogue that needs to be had is with the business owners inside the OEM. So, for example, the product managers or industry managers within the OEM, because if start talking right away with people that are too technical or maybe are more in the IT space, start solutioning before you actually have problem statements. Mm-hmm. So, to me, really the first dialogues need to be very high level dialogues, and they need to be about the business and what does the business need, and is there a place for technology to solve those problems, those business needs. Actually, one of the things that I love about my role now is that we have a really nice recipe for how we go about this journey of discovery. And there's actually teams of people that are these business consultants that are trained in really working with an OEM and really getting to the root cause of why they want to do technology or digital or connectivity.
Very good. Hey, we're coming to the end, and I cannot have you on this show without asking you personally, what does downtime mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? So downtime, you know, in my personal life, but I think maybe even in the industry, it planned downtime is great, right? We all need a little bit of downtime. I've been on the road for 6 weeks and, you know, I'm back home. This is a little bit of downtime. I went surfing yesterday. That was downtime. It was good. Rejuvenated me, ready to go again. But it's that unplanned downtime that's really bad. And to me, unplanned downtime is really when a machine is not productive and it's supposed to be productive, right? So it's a machine that's perfectly functional, but it's in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it's really not productive. And that's how I really think about downtime, is that non-productive machine. A lot of people associate it with a broken machine, but there's a level deeper.
Very good. Hey, appreciate that insight and also the conversation today. We captured quite a few points. So Fred, thanks a lot for your time. And this is the end. Thanks for listening in. And don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on your favorite podcast player, and look out for more downtime talks. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Søren.